Dearly beloved, grace and peace to you this day from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit, who is God's answer to every prayer. It seems so simple, and yet for many of us, it's challenging and difficult. Jesus says there's really nothing more to prayer than a child praying to her Abba, her father, her parent. And yet, as we've prayed again today in our prayer of the day, Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray. Why do so many of us feel like we come up short in our praying? How do you keep praying when sometimes it's difficult to pray even, "Come, Lord Jesus," or "Now I lay me," or "Our Father who art in heaven"? In truth, there are many obstacles to our praying. We are secularized people who prefer to have a conversation with someone we know, someone we can see, and we wonder if in prayer we're just talking to the wall or talking to ourselves. We are people of action, and prayer can seem like inaction, like not doing anything. We want to believe that God is listening, that our prayers matter, and that they might even change things. But truth be told, sometimes when we pray, things don't change. The things we pray for, despite what Jesus seems to say today, don't happen. We ask and we don't receive. Which is why that verse is so problematic. Ask will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. It sounds like there's nothing to it. Make your request known before God and they will be given. But we know from personal experience, prayer doesn't work like that. It's not so simple as that. Teacher Debbie Thomas calls these words of Jesus landmines. She says, read the wrong way, they turn God into a cosmic gumball machine, and we put in the shiny quarter of our request and expect God to spit out the very thing that we ought to ask for, automatic. And when we don't get what we ask for, some say the problem is with us. You didn't ask right. You didn't use the right words. You didn't assume the right posture, or you don't have enough faith to go with the things you prayed. I'm not saying that, but those are answers maybe we've all heard, or many of us have heard. And so it's no wonder that we can be hesitant to pray. In 40 years of ministry, I've always wanted to be a master practitioner and teacher of prayer. And now I have 6 weeks left, and I don't think I'm going to get there. An apprentice, which I think is most of us. And I am comforted by some of the great spiritual teachers. Henry Nouwen, I think, is one of the more renowned spiritual teachers of the 20th century. And Nouwen writes over and over and over again about his struggle to pray, his struggle to be connected with the living God. And I'm comforted by the words of these friends of Jesus, these disciples who walked with Jesus, who were his friends, who accompanied on his ministry. And here we hear them say, "Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray." They've been watching. They've been curious. They've wanted to pray like Jesus prayed, to pray in such an intimate way, to pray with such trust, to pray with such peace. Lord, we want that. Lord, teach us to pray. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is praying all the time. He, more than any other, the evangelist, has Jesus praying. Jesus prays at his baptism. Jesus prays before miracles and after miracles. Jesus hikes up on a mountain to pray. Later, Jesus prays with anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prays from the cross. Lord, teach us to pray, they ask in the middle of their apprenticeship. Lord, teach us to talk to God like you talk to God. And so Jesus teaches them the words that we call the Lord's Prayer. It's shorter than in Matthew's version. There's more words in Matthew's version, which more are closer to the prayer that we pray. So Luke gives us a few of them, And in truth, it might better be called the disciples' prayer in Luke's gospel. But most striking in both of these versions is what I've already told the kids, is how Jesus invites us to begin. Not God, the great holy other, right? But when you pray, say, Abba, Father, loving parent, Daddy, hallowed be your name. When you pray, talk to God as if you were a child who is curling up in your mother or father or your nana or papa's lap. No worries. No worries by the child about doing the right thing or saying the right thing, right? A week ago, Jennifer and Samuel and their baby girl, Aubrey, we were coming back from the twins game, and we were riding the light rail, and Aubrey was curled up on my lap, and she didn't care how she was seated or what she might babble. It was just good for me and good for her to be riding the rail together. I think just holding this image, this possibility in my mind, in my heart, helps me get a little closer, makes it a little easier for me to understand that prayer is not an assignment where there will be a grade. It's an invitation to a relationship. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. And then Jesus tells this parable, a story that goes with the teaching. They're not separate things. He goes immediately from giving them words to telling the story. He continues this instruction about prayer. And the landmine in this prayer is the interpretation of the word that suggests prayer is all about persistence. The error we can take away from hearing the story in that way, that getting answers to prayer then is about praying enough. You got to do it enough. You got to do it more frequently, perhaps, than you've done in the past. If you're not getting your answers, there's got to be more of it. Just twist God's arm hard enough and long enough, this interpretation goes, and God will give you what you want. But sometimes we've prayed for months. And every time I look out over the congregation, I can think of people who are not here who we prayed for years. We didn't receive the answer that we were asking for. Answers came, healing might have come, but cure did not. I don't think it's about persistence. I think that's a misinterpretation of the word, and I'm helped by those who say what really Jesus is talking about is shameless prayer, not so much how many times you do it. But when you pray, pray shamelessly. Pray wholeheartedly. It's not about the mechanics or technology or the frequency. It can be very helpful to learn different ways to pray. I'm not saying that. Pray silently. Walk the labyrinth. Pray with words. Pray with others. But I think what Jesus is driving at here is the freedom of a loving relationship that can guide how and when and how often we pray. So I don't have to screen, and neither do you, screen my prayer request for fear of offending God or for fear of boring God. Well, I already asked God for that 10 times. God's probably going to say, okay, enough already. If a friend whose sleep is interrupted in the middle of the night by another and will give him finally what he asked for, how much more will God give us what is good and life-giving? Be shameless when you pray. Ask God, tell God anything. And that brings us back to the difficult words in verse 9. Ask, seek, knock. To dissuade us from treating God like a cosmic gumball machine, Debbie Thomas suggests that what Jesus is driving at here is to help us name our longings. So tell God what you're afraid of. Tell God what burden you're carrying right now. What about the failure of God's kingdom to come yet most disturbs you? So there's this both and in Jesus' instruction. Come to God as a child curling up on a grandparent's lap. And come to God with your muscular, your ferocious, your intense praying. Be pushy. Don't worry about not being polite, not following some protocol in your prayers. Prayer can be a wrestling match, and God says, bring it on. At the end of this instruction comes this verse. And here we receive the one certain outcome to our praying. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, and you do, you all give good gifts to your kids, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's not to say that God's not going to answer your prayers with any other kinds of answers. It is to say that as we pray to our Abba, as we make shameless requests at any hour, as we name our longings and our fears and our wants and our needs, God will not fail to give us God's self. We may or may not get what we hope for. We have sometimes and sometimes not got what we prayed for. But God will not fail to give us God's own self as we pray. God will always answer our prayers with the gift of God's Spirit, the answer that we most need, the one thing that can never be taken from us. And I think maybe this is what the disciples were recognizing when they saw Jesus pray, when they asked Jesus to teach, Lord, teach us what it is. What is it about how you pray that gives you this sense of peace and trust, the sense of the presence of God? That leaves open the question, is it enough? Is God giving God's self every time we pray? Is that enough? Can we live with that? When we pray for clarity about our futures, and sometimes we get answers and sometimes we don't, but we get God's Spirit. When we pray for the healing of a loved one, for an end to the cancer, for the conquering of a virus, for recovery from a or a stroke. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't, but we always get God's Spirit. When we pray for the closing of a gaping wound following a tumultuous divorce, a fractured family, sometimes we get it and sometimes we don't, but we always get God's Spirit. We always get God's yes to God's self. I want it to be enough. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. I know that in the grand stage of time and space, my little life seems smaller and smaller. Thanks very much, Webb Telescope, for making it even smaller than it was before. And yet I hear and trust in these words that the Creator of all that, of all things, tells us that our lives matter. The Creator comes to us in Jesus, walked this planet in Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, to show us it is so. We read in Colossians 1, He rescued us from the control of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. He set us free through the Son and forgave us our sins. And the Son who sets us free teaches us to pray to the God who makes all these things true. And so we pray. We call on our Abba. We make shameless requests, shameless sharing of what's on our hearts and our minds, because Jesus told us to do so. And we trust that God hears and answers our prayers in many ways, but always by pouring God's Spirit into us and over us. Amen.